Today, the world around us has almost completely rejected the concept of sin. Because mankind has refused to acknowledge it for what it is, they have no true understanding as to why they are the way they are. Everything they do is considered to be a lifestyle choice. Hardly anything is acknowledged to be sin anymore. It's no wonder, then, that as Christians, we struggle with living godly lives when we are surrounded and immersed in the world's wicked philosophy, an ungodly worldview that permeates almost everything we see and hear, and therefore influences what we think and behave. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. Each episode is filled to the brim with all the tools of Scripture you will ever need to build a lasting life of purity, integrity, and godliness. I'm your host, Steve Ettner, author, national speaker, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. Welcome to episode number 41 as we continue our mini-series on how to live for Christ. So grab your Bible, come on in as we talk about the ugh in struggle. Back in the mid-1970s, there was a famous actor who coined the phrase, "The devil made me do it." Now, it was meant to be funny, it was meant to be cute, and it elicited a lot of laughs from the audience. But I want to submit to you that that phrase, "the devil made me do it," truly expresses the mindset of the world today. You see, mankind refuses to take responsibility for his sins. It's far easier to blame someone else for our wrong actions. So all too often, we blame the devil, we blame Satan for our sin. So that brings up an important question here. Does the devil make us sin? Is it Satan's fault? The answer? No. No, not at all. Oh, okay, well, if Satan doesn't make us sin, then does God make us sin? Definitely not. The Scriptures declare that God is a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he, Deuteronomy 32:4. He's not going to make you sin when he can't sin. Job cried out, "Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong." Job 34:10. James declares, "God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." James 1:13. So our question on the table now looms even larger in front of us than it did before. If sin doesn't come from the devil, and it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? Well, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, gives us the answer. You see, in that verse, Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. One chapter earlier in Jeremiah 16, verse 12, God says, "Each of you is following the stubbornness of his evil heart instead of obeying me." You see, at the very core, at the heart of our being is sin. Without Christ, it's part and parcel of who you are. Sin comes from within. We're born sinners. It's part of our makeup to sin. I mean, even a sweet, innocent, cute, cuddly, adorable baby is still a sinner. I mean, think about it. Do you have to teach a child to lie? No, you don't. But you do have to teach them to tell the truth. Do you have to teach a child to be selfish? But you do have to teach them to be considerate of others. Do you have to teach a child to do things out of anger so they can get their own way? Again, no. But you do have to teach them how to control their temper. We are naturally born sinners. The psalmist writes in Psalm 51, verse 5, "I was guilty of sin from birth, a sinner the moment my mother conceived me." Psalm 51:5. God said that the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Genesis 8:21. Jesus said, "For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder." Mark 7:21. You see, without Christ, our nature is an old nature, ready and willing to sin at the drop of a hat. Okay, I want you to listen closely as I quote to you three verses from Scripture. Listen for a common theme and be ready to answer the question I'm going to ask afterward. You ready? Here we go. First verse, Galatians 3:22. It says, the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:22. You're probably familiar with the next verse. Romans 3:23 declares, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, we read, surely there is not a righteous man or woman on earth who does good and never sins. Okay, now here's my question for you based on the verses I just quoted. You ready? Who sins? I know. Silly question, right? But seriously now, who sins? I don't know, maybe the better question might be, who doesn't sin? We understand that everyone sins, right? God's word asks the question in Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean, I'm without sin? The answer, of course, is no one. No one, that is, except for Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Even the greatest, most holy, righteous, godly thing that you and I may do in this life without Christ is a filthy rag before a perfectly holy God, Isaiah 64, verse 6. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. As a child of God, when King Me is sitting high and mighty on the throne of your heart, you are sinning. You're worshiping that which is not God, that which is not worthy of worship. Bottom line, you're guilty of idolatry. Now, I know that's not, if you've been listening to our podcast in any length of time, then you know that's not a new revelation. We talk about that a lot. But I want you to understand that that sin of idolatry, having King Me sitting on the throne of your heart, drastically hinders your communion with God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities or your sins have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. In Jeremiah 5:25, we read, your sins have kept good from you. God warns in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, that when you spread out your hands, in other words, when you come to before God to pray, God says, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen, Isaiah 1:15. Well, the day is coming, not soon enough in my opinion, but the day is coming when Jesus will personally deliver us once and for all, not only from the power of sin, but from the presence of sin in our lives. But until that time, we must daily face our sin head on and deal with it. As we live and breathe here on earth, sin will continue to be a problem for us. You know that's true. You've experienced it. We will daily experience what I call the ugh in struggle. Hopefully you caught the little play on words there. The ugh in struggle. Well, our new, holy, sin-free nature is living in the old, nasty, sin-reddened flesh. And what a battle those two are fighting. Daily, your flesh is dead set against the new nature. And the new nature is diametrically opposed to the sinful flesh. In Galatians 5:17, Paul says, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh. Those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Can you relate? You're probably familiar with the text in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25, where Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. And he says, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? The answer, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Can you relate? Can you feel the battle raging between the new nature that God created and placed within you and the old sinful flesh? Did you know that that battle that you experience is proof that you're a born-again believer? Here's what I mean. I want to submit to you, the people without Christ don't have this battle going on because they don't have a new nature living within them, Romans 8, 9. This is why it is so important that you grow in Christ. The more you grow in your walk with God, the more the Holy Spirit will dominate your flesh, and the less your flesh will defeat you and hinder the work of the Spirit in your life. Hey, it's downright tough being godly in an ungodly world. Agreed? Daily, we're slammed with temptation. Around every corner lurks an opportunity to sin. Let's face it, glorifying God in every aspect of our lives, every moment of every day, can feel like nothing more than a pipe dream, right? The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 5:16 that when you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let me repeat that, Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, let the Holy Spirit teach you, lead you, guide you. Walk in obedience to God's word as He reveals it to you, and you will not sin. Yes, you just heard right. You heard me correctly. You can go throughout a day without sinning when you discipline yourself to walk by the Spirit. Well, let me reiterate here that as Christians, we are to live, we are to walk by the Spirit. But what does that really mean? How do we faithfully execute that command? How do we unswervingly live holy, righteous, godly lives, lives of purity and integrity? How do we do that? To consistently surrender your life to the leading of the Holy Spirit means that you are moment by moment every day choosing to say no to the constant cravings of your sinful flesh. It also means that you are continuously choosing to say yes to the Spirit's rule in your heart and your mind. It's a choice. In a previous episode, we dug deep into Genesis 4:7. I just want to touch base on it briefly here in this episode. You see, God says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You see, every day, in fact, every moment of every day, you are faced with multiple choices. And although the choices may appear to be many, the option is really only two. Do I listen to King Me and do what I want to do and suffer the consequences? Or do I choose to dethrone and depose King Me and do what God wants me to do and enjoy the subsequent blessings? In fact, let's take a moment here and let's understand why Genesis 4:7 is so crucial to living for Christ every moment of every day. First of all, I want you to notice God's use of the word if. If you do what is right. If you do not do what is right. That little word if is called a conditional clause. It requires a choice on your part. A choice only you can make. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. It's up to you. It requires a choice with a consequence that is always attached to that choice. In other words, choose this, and this is what will happen. Choose that, and that's what will happen. God is telling Cain and us in Genesis 4:7 that you can choose to do what is right, or you can choose to do what is wrong. The choice is yours. It's always yours. You not only have the option, you have the divine power, the God-given ability to make the right choice. When facing temptation to sin, never forget that the choice is always yours. Yes, there is an ugh in struggle. One of the powerful lies of the enemy is, I have no choice. I can't help myself. I've got to do this. And although those thoughts and feelings are very real, so is the truth of Scripture that you don't have to sin. You're sinning because you're choosing to sin. Here's a key thought for you. We do what we do because we want what we want. We want what we want because in our heart we believe what we believe. You know, there's an old adage that says you can choose your actions, but you cannot choose the consequences. For example, I can choose the action of jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. However, I cannot choose whether hitting the ground will kill me or not. Now, I want you to consider this. You can choose your consequences simply by choosing your actions. Think about that for a moment. I mean, I can choose not to die by choosing not to jump out of a plane without a parachute. That only makes sense, right? Choose the consequence by choosing the action. That's the point of Genesis 4:7. That's the point of this episode. If you choose to do what is right, something will happen. Something good. Choice, consequence. You'll be accepted. You'll be blessed. If you choose to do what's wrong, it's your choice. Something will happen. Choice, consequence. Sin is crouching at the door. It will pounce and it will try to consume every part of your life. You see, every action has a consequence. It's true in the spiritual realm just as much as it is in the physical. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 warns, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who choose to live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. You know, too often we are duped into believing that we can think however we want to think, say whatever we want to say, and do whatever we want to do, and no consequences or no serious consequences will follow. Consider this. Every choice has a consequence. So, if you want good consequences, make good choices. Well, before we conclude this week's episode, I'd like to take just a moment and give you a glimpse into our ministry. You see, we do a whole lot more here at the Pure Man Ministry than just producing a weekly podcast. For example, we have a free app. It's entitled My Purity Coach. This app is chock full of powerful tools to help you in your walk of purity. You'll find tons of scripture, audio and video lessons from the Bible. You can even listen to this podcast from the app. Again, that app, it's free for any of your smart devices. It's entitled My Purity Coach. I've also designed an online training resource called ChristianGrowthAcademy.com. That's Christian Growth Academy, all one word, ChristianGrowthAcademy.com. There you'll find a growing library of affordable video courses that are geared to help you learn how to grow in your Christian walk. If you're a subscriber to this podcast, then you've heard me talk before about our Point of Purity program. It's a 12-week, one-on-one, Bible-centered coaching program. Not counseling, coaching. Taking you into the scriptures to teach you how to develop a lifelong strategic plan for sexual purity. You know, we are a faith-based, donor-supported ministry. What that means is in order to keep the electric going and the bills paid, we need your support. All the stuff that I've just mentioned and so much more is only made possible by our team of ministry partners who give financially to this ministry. Without compromise, my friend, the Purity Coach shows men and women across the globe how to have a continuous relationship with Jesus, one that is real and personal. So to that end, can I be honest with you? We need financial assistance from partners like you, people who are committed to providing hope and helping men and women across the globe win their personal battle against the beast of sexual impurity. So if this Point of Purity podcast has been a blessing to you, if it's ministered to you, if it's encouraged you, if it's challenged your walk with Christ, would you please, please prayerfully consider joining our team as we impact the world by equipping and training men and women on how to live in purity and godliness and integrity? Your financial support to this ministry will go a long, long way in helping men and women find the victory and freedom that only Christ can and will give. So if you'd like to financially support our ministry, you can give your tax-deductible gift to the Pure Man Ministry by simply going to thepuritycoach.com. Again, thepuritycoach.com. And in the upper right corner of the website, you'll see a link that says donate. click on that donate button and you can fill out the form and give your donation. So from the bottom of my heart, in advance, thank you for partnering with us. And if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, may I encourage you to do so today so that you won't miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, and purity coach Steve Etner reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.